Welcome to Talking in Stations, an EVE Online podcast. I'm Matterall. Today, we're going to explore a big battle that happened in LK with some of the FCs that were there. And we're also going to talk about the deluge of announcements coming out of EVE Down Under. So we'll meet Otto Bismarck from EVE Down Under as well. Let's get right to it and get to some introductions, first starting with the panel. How are you doing, Carneros?
Great. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Morning. And Tiberius.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good. Some of us are still watching the Spanish-Russian game. It's in overtime. I know it'll be, by the time people hear this, it'll be all over and decided, but it's still happening right here. All right, and as far as guests, I want to introduce people that we'll come back to in just a minute, but first is Killa B.
Hey, what's up?
He is from NC Dot. We also have Pro God Legend from Test.
How's it going?
Good, thanks. From the Imperium, or Goonswarm, is Jay Amazingness.
Hello.
All right, first I want to talk to Otto Bismarck. How are you doing, Otto?
My bad, it's pretty late though.
You are wrecked, I can tell.
Oh dude, I'm a struggler.
You're in Australia, it's 2 a.m, you've just worked on EVE Down Under, is that right?
I don't really work on EVE Down Under that much anymore. I help out a little bit and I did a presentation this year, but other than that, I'm a consumer rather than a creator.
Can you tell us about... Well, let's actually first talk about you, because you're a storied player too. You've been around a long, long time. When did you first start playing EVE Online?
Let's go with 2003. That's about as accurate as I can get right now.
Okay, we'll give you a break. 2003, that's when the game started itself. Who did you come up with while you were playing? Who were you a part of?
I was a low secker for a while, and then I went to Zedig, and then Mercenary Coalition the first time, and then I went to the Establishment for any of the old people. Then I went to Band of Brothers, and then I can't remember after that. Sorry, man.
You trailed off there, but you were in Band of Brothers in Reikoku?
Yeah, I was in Band of Brothers in RKK, and I flopped around a little bit after that, just sort of chasing what's fun.
Chasing what's fun, yeah. Great. So you're Australian, obviously. Tell us about what EVE Down Under is or was and why it's so favored by FOSI, because it seems to have a soft spot for Australians.
So EVE Down Under is pretty much like, say, FanFest or Vegas or EVE Sedan. It's player run though. So CCP help us out quite a lot in terms of support. But generally speaking, most of the organization is done by players and it's in Australia. So that's, I suppose, the short answer.
Awesome. Well, listen, stay up as long as you can. I know it's super late and you're probably wiped out from a big weekend. We will talk about a lot of the announcements that came out of EVE Down Under later today, because I think there's a ton of stuff that they talked about, including the roadmap.
We're not going to get into that now?
We're set up to go to the fight first, since that's more of a contained thing. And then later we can do analysis. And that way, if we go long, it won't kill the clock. But let's actually move right into the fight that happened. There was a huge fight, about 3,400 people in local. What was that fight over, ProGod? And tell us about how it got set up and what happened.
It's really 3,400? I thought it got to around like 25. I guess it got up there.
That's what I wasn't there. That's what I read. Was it 25?
Killa, do you remember? I usually minimize local pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think it was 20, 25, 2600. I didn't see it at 3,400, but yeah, still. Okay.
When my little gang got in the system, there was 2,700 and change, but I got there a little late.
Okay, 2,700. Let's call it 2,700.
So yeah, I mean, this fight, so I'd say, the week before this fight, Fraternity started moving to their LK1K Fortizar that they own, and they have two in system, and we have a Fortizar off those Fortizars just from previous conflicts. And some legacy fleet on their way home reinforced both of them and set up a Sunday timer for both of them. It wasn't even really planned. So we formed up on Sunday and we said, fuck it. If we could push it to final timer, then we'll knock their cloning off for a few days. And that really screws someone up trying to restage. So we did a big form up on Sunday and they ended up blue balling cause we had like 800 dudes. Then the final timers were set up. The goons, the Chinese goons really hate Fraternity for whatever reason, China politics, I guess. So they were eager to come show up. So on Tuesday, the Fortizars had different final timers set on different days, which ended up saving their ass, because if they had both been set on Tuesday, it may not have, we may not have even had that fight, because they ended up blue balling on Tuesday and setting up this big final stand on Wednesday. And they were hyping it really hard, and we felt like we had a shot to get some good numbers. So we said, fuck it, let's hype it really hard too. If we can win this one and kill their last Fortizar, then they'll have to spend days restaging, and that's just not a good situation to be in. So we formed up. They ended up calling for help from PL and NCDOT and GOTG and Horde, and a lot of people showed up, a lot more people than we thought would. So it ended up being about even numbers, slightly more on the enemy side, I think. Close enough. It was pretty even. But, you know, when you're defending a Fortizar, that's a big defensive advantage. So we gave it a shot. I'm sure we'll get into the actual details of the fight, so we can start talking about that. But we gave it a shot. Got it down to 60%. Didn't end up killing it. Had to pull off the grid. You know, it was fun. Not really. But.
So you gave it a shot. Didn't work out. Killer B, you were you're taking some time off, but this was your first fleet back.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first big fleet back. I did like do a little Serb fleet to go and kill some Macariel somewhere in Pravi. But yeah, I basically took a 2 months break of FCing, job related, burnout related kind of thing. Just, you know, sometimes you just got to take a little break from me. So I did that, and I had Thursday off, which is where the timer happened. Luckily. So I figured I'll go and take care of that from the NCDOT side of things, and it was really, really fun fight for me. It was a big fight. Both sides ended up actually engaging each other. There was no, I mean, the lag and the tie day, it was pretty bad, but it was still like, at least we were killing stuff, right? At least the guns were somewhat working, and at least the arties were. You know, I thought it was a pretty fun engagement for us, for my fleet. So yeah, it's good.
Arties, because you were in Macarials?
Yeah, we were in Macarials that have been provided to us by China, or by FRT, sorry. And I basically just brought a 250 man interceptor fleet down that was just like travel inties, and then we were provided with Macarials, Logis, Links, everything you need for like a full fleet in that reinforced Fortizar, basically. So we docked up at the fort, hopped into the ships, handed them out, and then undocked and fought.
Yeah, that was surprising. I thought y'all might show up. I didn't think they'd just magic you a full Macario fleet, though. That was pretty good.
It's a very luxurious way to fight if you can get it.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So, Jay, the Imperium was actually in this fight, too. What's the relationship there, and whose side were you on?
We came to help test. But it was more sort of we don't really care what happens. It was more sort of a, hey, there's going to be a fight here. In the past, we've shot FRT a lot more than we've shot test in more recent history. So we decided to show up and shoot FRT. And we basically just focused on FRT Tempests the entire fight.
How did that go?
It went pretty well. We had some trouble with missiles and people DCing. So when the fight first started, like half of our fleet DC'd instantly. Yeah, I think that's because
A lot of fleets had DC issues.
Yeah, like FRT launched all their fighters and everyone DC'd. It was horrible.
That was so funny. Like, that was at the start of a fight. We had just undocked our Macario fleet, and I just saw goons and tests and legacy members just randomly warp into random directions, right? And I was asking my fleet, because I was a little confused, about, why are they starbursting? What's happening? And then because I thought maybe they got bombed or something and they warped off. And then I did see, then I realized it was like mass disconnecting. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we had a few of these fights in the past 6 months, and it's pretty bad. When you're in game and you're not getting desynced, it's working. And you know, Killaby, you've been playing for a while. We've been in some pretty bad laggy fights. It's the tie-dye functions. Like, yeah, it was super slow, but your guns aren't getting stuck. You know, you're still firing. What's the big problem now is I can't remember this many people getting disconnected this often, or the desyncs that constantly keep happening. And I never used to have these problems. And now I have it almost every other fight. Like, this one was terrible for me. One of the ones earlier this year wasn't so bad, but like I could barely play for most of the game, for most of the fight. And, you know, it affects both sides. It seems to be pretty random who it happens to and who it doesn't. It's just, I don't understand it. It's unfortunate. It kind of, you know, this has always been the problem with lag and big fights. Like, this is what EVE is supposed to be. And sometimes it just, it makes it hard to enjoy it.
Was there something about the wrong node being reinforced or something like that?
No, it was a reinforced node. It played pretty well, considering, although personally, 2,500 people, 2,600 people in local is not a lot. Like that, there, I used to consider it, it needed to get above 3,000 before you really needed to start seeing heavy lag stuff. And 2,500 on a reinforced node 4 or 5 years ago would have played extremely well. And now it plays like there's 4,000 in local. In my opinion,
what do you think's going on there?
I think it's the chat mostly. I'm fairly confident that it's mostly the new chat system, because all lag related, DC related issues have gotten worse since they introduced the new chat backend and a lot of other things as well. That has just messed with a lot of things.
So I think the chat system is a big factor. I think there's something in the fighter code that's really fucking things up, because there's specific things that cause DCs. Like the fact that you can set up the fighter boosh, and because that's the best way to figure out what's going on, is to try and find ways that replicate, that you can actually replicate. And every time that you try and boosh fighters, half the command SEs disconnect every single time. And it doesn't seem to have any rhyme or reason to which ones disconnect. But, and also every time, like, you actually warp those fleets in the big Citadel fight onto the Citadel and start the actual shooting. I mean, you saw it at the beginning, Killaby. Once the actual shooting started, tons of people disconnected. And all those people, it wasn't jump-ins. All those fleets were already in system. They were already loaded on grid even. So nobody coming on the grid, nobody coming in the system. It's just once the server had to start processing shots, it just kicked a bunch of people off.
Wild. Is that what you were going to concur with, Jay? Because you started to say something about fighters.
Yeah, I think most of the issues with desync is due to the fighters. We were shooting a red tower yesterday, and we had like 60 supers, and that was it. And like, we launched fighters, and half the fleet DC'd.
So it's not really tie-dye, then. It's just kind of
It wasn't even a fight. No, it wasn't even a fight. It was 200 people in local. And we're just like hitting something in Delve, and like half the fleet DC'd.
Did y'all have tie dye just cause with just supers there? Or?
No, it was perfect system, everything.
That's interesting. Is this going to be the new meta?
Whoa!
Trying to desync the opponent.
Say something in chat. That can't be right. That every fighter is counted as an entity, not just the wing itself. I'm reading Twitch chat right now.
Oh, that's what they said on the meta show. But yeah, you're right. Go ahead.
I thought the whole point of getting rid of individual fighters and putting them in these wings was to make it easier on the server. I mean, that's the whole reason we tolerate this stupid mechanic where you can only kill one fighter out of nine at a time.
That was the message they gave at the time that they rolled that out. Yes.
So what is this?
Well, no, because on the meta show yesterday, when they were talking about fighters, they said that each one counts as a thing, and that didn't sound right. So what CCP officially said is that each tube counts as an entity, and the five fighters that are in the tube are counted as one.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought it was. Okay. Well, even then, like, it's honestly, like, the lag from the current fighter meta, or the current system of fighters, is worse than when super carriers had 15 regular fighter bombers. I mean, the whole reason we had the new fighter system is because of lag. It's definitely not because of gameplay. So I don't know. It's pretty unfortunate.
Let's just admit something's going on there, and hopefully CCP figures it out. But going back to the battle, you actually dropped caps, didn't you, ProGuide?
No, I mean, we did the standard. We put carriers on our Fortizar 1,000 away and ran SS fighters over. We had a pretty standard approach to it. because it's a Fortizar, a lot of these big battles happen over keep stars. This one was a Fortizar. So when you got 1,000 ships on the field, you don't really need that many of them to shoot the Fortizar to keep DPS on. So, you know, we could damage cap the Fortizar and still have most of our fleets do fighting. And, you know, so we put our subcap fleets on the grid. We try to get SS fighters over there to protect them. We were a little late doing that. We didn't execute as well as we could. And we had a couple fleets that in perfect conditions and in perfect situations can really mitigate a lot of the long range turret damage coming from Dreads and Titans. Because when you're hitting the Citadel, you got like three sources of damage coming in. You got enemy subcap damage, enemy fighter damage, and then long range turrets on capitals. So if we could mitigate most of the fighter damage and most of the long range turret damage and fight the subcaps, we're gonna have a shot. But honestly, I don't think you can pull it off in lag. When you're in those long range Titans or those long range Dreads and you can just sort by transversal velocity and see who's not being tracked, you know, who's not keeping up with speed and all that. And then you've got a bunch of people getting desynced and disconnected. There's plenty of targets available. It's really hard to maintain a SIG tanking fleet when you've got a bunch of desyncs and disconnects going on. So I don't think that could work unless the server gets better. And even then, it would have been, even in perfect conditions, I don't think we would have won the fight or killed the Fortizar, but it definitely makes it harder to do a SIG tanking fleet when you've got a bunch of disconnects going on.
You used to be pretty much exclusively subcapital as far as fleet commanding. That was your thing. Yeah. So are you doing both now?
I've always dropped capitals every now and then. I always personally FC the subcap fleet because I think most of the fight is won in positioning. Like when you're dropping capitals, what matters is where you drop them and at what point in the fight you drop them. Once they're on the grid, FCing the actual capitals is pretty straightforward. So I think that, you know, getting the fight in the best situation possible as before you drop the capitals is the most important part. And I think that's what the subcap fleet's job is to control the grid, set the situation up for the capitals, and, you know, put yourself in the best possible position to win.
What do you other FCs think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, supers or generally caps are pretty straightforward. There's not much to it. People always ask you, hey, what does it take to be a capital FC? But not much. Really, yeah, exactly. Like really, once you are a good subcap FC, you can easily do caps as well. It's just about knowing what the caps are capable of, right? It's more like a knowledge thing than it is like a skills, some sort of thing. Like you just have to know, okay, this is what I'm working with. This is the amount of Titans, the amount of facts that I have. What kind of damage can they inflict? How can I, you know, best use them? And that is pretty much what it is. And once you figure that out or somebody told you, you know, you can just straight up write that down somewhere, and then it is pretty straightforward. Which is why I also mostly do the subcap fleets in the fights, and then I'll usually have someone that I trust run the caps. Somebody that I trust that knows, you know, those facts, those informations they need to do it.
Yeah, I've always been skeptical of alliances that have capital FCs. That, you know, to me there is no difference between capital FC and subcap FC, and you know, you're either an FC or you're not, and if you can't FC subcaps, I'm always very skeptical.
Jay, you do both, right?
Yeah, I do both, but I've been focusing on caps mostly the past year and a half or so.
Oh, do you have a different opinion, or is it
no, I probably wouldn't be FCing caps if I couldn't FC subs, so it's just a preference thing.
It seems like there'd be more pressure, right?
It's a weird thing because it's more not in terms of getting it all replaced. It's quite easy because, you know, it will be replaced no matter what, but it's more of a, this, you know, this Titan cost this dude, you know, 60 bill or whatever. You know, he's worked quite hard for it and I don't want him to lose it, you know, because of my fuck up. It's that sort of responsibility.
Last question on this topic. Is this like a war that's going to expand? Or I know nobody wants to put a name on it. Nobody wants to put pressure on it. Vili explained that very well last time, last show where he was here. But what's the future of this region look like to you guys?
I think that the people who are high up that are like always in on, you know, who's the actual politics, the backroom politics, are aware that the lines have been getting drawn for a while now, and it's only been a matter of time before another big conflict flares up. I mean, it's been 2 years since World War B ended now, so we haven't had a big giant universe-wide war in a while, and this may not spark into it. This may continue to be just another local conflict. I mean, it doesn't look like a war because the definition of war with the new game mechanics has changed so much. But the East has been at war, quote unquote, for the past year, ever since Triumphant Reset XIX. I mean, it's actually been quite a ridiculous conflict. I mean, considering how many alliances have died, how many times, I mean, Triumphant lost their space and came back and got their space back all over the course of this. It's been a crazy conflict when you zoom out and look at all the events that have happened for the past year, even though it still never feels like one of the traditional fountain wars or something like that.
And the new entities
to just be the next chapter in the East, or it may grow into something bigger. I guess it all depends who comes.
I like seeing some of the new players that are popping up too and getting involved, like these giant wormhole groups that I guess have grown out of their wormholes.
Yeah, that's been crazy.
So there's a lot of interesting things going on. Anything else, Jay or Killer B?
It depends a little bit on how the aggressors play it. I still think that, you know, Happy and Goons will dominate USTZ. So as long as there's no major USTZ groups getting involved, which there is basically none of, it is just Tappy and Goons that have like a strong USTZ. So, as long as that doesn't change in some way, I don't think there is going to be much progress. But it also, you know, like I said, it depends a little bit how the aggressors play it, in my opinion. But it has the potential to spark into a bigger conflict, I think, with Goons getting more and more involved, you know, or if they get more and more involved. There's obviously other groups that will, you know, react to that, and I think it's something to definitely keep an eye on.
Very interesting. It'd be hilarious, dude, if we showed up one time and made everyone else deploy.
I mean, you know, it's pretty straightforward, right? Like, we know that you guys will show up when there's like a big final timer over, for example, the test structure and stuff.
Yeah,
so
we know that everyone else will show up in support of FRT. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it seems like
it would
one
be nice
is the other.
If we could all just like have a summit and agree to, you know, keep both sides' bat phones down so we can
send 10 best PvPers and let them fight out.
I like
the summit.
Let's have the AT results decide the war.
Oh no!
I think ProGuide, you'd be onto something if you could figure out how to control bat phoning, because that to me seems like the real problem of...
You'll never control it. If one side doesn't do it, the other side will, and then they'll lose. So
The problem that makes bat phones a lot stronger is these long timers. So you can have 11-day timers on medium structures. Still.
Yeah.
So in that 11 days... say, I don't know, one of the Sergios and Delva's reinforced and it has 11-day timer. We could build, you know, 100,000, like hundred thousands of caps, and we could just keep flying them in, because 11 days is a very long time, and if you've got enough build slots, you can build anything.
Yeah. It's, I mean, Fraternity did most of their bat phoning in 24 hours to get those numbers to show up. And, the Chinese goons had already decided they were going to come, but
The Chinese goons and FRT, they sort of hate each other.
Dude, they really fucking hate each other. It's kind of blowing my mind. Like, I didn't even. People were getting mad at the second timer, where the goons first showed up, and they were like, "Oh, you bat-phoned goons." And I explained to them, I'm like, I didn't even tell them about the timer. They just came. Like, they just kind of hit us up, and they're like, "Yo, we're coming to shoot Fraternity on this timer." And I was like, "Okay,
get out of the way."
Yeah.
Stand back. This is between us. All right. Well, that's cool. Look forward to seeing more stuff here. And I totally agree with ProGuard. This has been a very interesting part of the map for the last year. It's one of the reasons we picked Triumvirate as Alliance of the Year is to highlight some of their achievements, because I think they've been doing a lot of dynamic work, either dying or winning. So it's been really interesting to watch, and even splitting up, right? Because Captain...
Well, they definitely deserve it, considering all they've been through.
Captain Archer took off to NC for a while. He's now back in Triumvirate. So it seems like they've just been doing a lot of interesting things. And then there's Fraternity, too, in that whole area. It's been interesting. Let's actually move on, because we want to talk about some of these changes. I think there was a ton of stuff that was brought up a couple of days ago. I think there's a ton of stuff. Do you guys want to... Tiberius, why don't you start us off on... there's one thing I'd like to point out before Tiberius starts us off on what was there. And that was, I thought it was bittersweet that CCP Siegel's last day was basically yesterday or the day before. Almost at the exact same time, they showed the first Stargate in a slide saying, here's a player-owned Stargate. It's the small one. There'll be bigger ones. And I thought that was like, kind of like she fell at the finish line, because that was the one regret she had, that it hadn't moved faster so she could get to show you guys what the Stargates look like. So they're
actually going to do that? I thought we gave up on that.
No. It's complicated.
Hey, Otto, you want to tell us what happened there?
So Fozzy busted out a whole heap of new structures that are coming along. A lot of them were teased at FanFest, and they sort of fleshed out some of the details. But essentially the small Stargate is on the sort of road to deleting pauses, and they will replace jumpers.
Isn't it just like a jumpers replacement?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. I mean, essentially looking into it, we did get kind of a lot of teasing of this stuff. Like some of the images that we've seen in at FanFest were reproduced here, like the image of the Stargates and things like that. But this is, you know, the final hurdle now before pauses are finally getting removed. And they come into two different types of categories. There's the replacement modules for the pauses. So the small Stargate is the replacement for the jump bridges. We got the Sino jammers, and we've also got the Sino beacons as well. So we all kind of knew that those were coming, and it's the last couple of bits that POSs currently do that nothing else currently does. The most interesting thing that I didn't expect them to do were these forward operating bases. Now, we've got the deployable structures like the mobile depots, MTUs. We've also got the medium structures, the large structures, and the extra large structures, fine. But this is like a whole new family of structures that are coming out. And the entire point of them is to go in, set something up fast. They don't have all the same functions and all the same features that a Citadel would do, but they will allow people to quickly set up a base at like a little incursion area to stock up, redeploy from. Collect ammunition, maybe even get repairs, whole sorts of things as well. And that's a really interesting new concept.
They needed something to replace the hour-long anchor time of towers. They were losing a lot of functionality. Losing part of the meta. They didn't need to replace it, in my opinion, but I guess they're going to.
One thing I'm worried about with this removal of pulses is, say, for example, like up north, we've got a few goons deployed to NPC Pureblind, and I have a tower up that has a Titan in, so I'm bridge from that Titan's safe. I'm not bridging from an Astro House, you know, in direct range of people that can bump it, because that's kind of sketch. So
I mean, you're right, it's definitely going to make people's home space safer, but I mean, people's home space is already so fucking safe. It's with Rorqual panic times and everyone and their grandmother having a super carrier. So I don't think you can put that part of the meta any worse than it already is. It's already at maximum terribleness. No, I could be wrong. It could get worse. I guess it can always get worse.
It cannot. Yeah, it can always get worse. Trust me.
Well, how should we break this down? Because there was information on the future development of EVE, and there was also the July patch where they're going to do some stuff that's a little more concrete. And then there was a Q&A session I thought was very revealing. Let me just say this about the Q&A. There is a new executive producer, should be announced any second now. That's a confirmation now that Falcon made while he was answering questions. It's a he, and it's an old-time traditionalist. And that's the way they describe this new executive producer and a longtime Eve player. Do we have any speculation on who that is?
Can it please be Tom B and bring back the fucking Nerf battle?
It's like raising everyone's blood pressure saying that. It's that old shit.
I'd be okay with nerfing most things in this game.
I just hope they actually mean like a long-time Eve player and not long-time Eve player logging in like once a week, flying level 4 mission, logging back off. Yeah, because that would just not be good.
I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see. That should be announced pretty... We didn't even know if they were going to have an executive producer, but now it's pretty much confirmed there is one. So we'll see what happens there. A couple other things that Fozzie talked about in the Q&A session, and then we'll go back to some of the features that were talked about. Nerfing force auxiliaries and why that's difficult. Because it's really not nerfing the actual healing rate or repair rate that these things can do, because if you nerf it by 20%, you'll bring 20% more of them, and that mitigates
the... Why do they want to nerf facts?
They believe that it's too powerful, mostly in wormholes, not in nullsec.
Cares, like, seriously. I'm sorry.
I'm a prog on this one. It's like, yes, you know, if Bling Fit Ninazu, or even I don't know if anyone has actually pulled out the faction facts yet for wormholes, like the loggerhead or whatever, but obviously they're really strong, because there's like, it's so hard to escalate caps and wormholes, right? But like Sprite Progot pretty much said, who cares. It's, I guess the wormholes care, right? Like, we're going to just get jumped by wormholes in chat. No problem. Well,
it's a limited situation. Look at Alliance Tournament trophy ships. They're a little too powerful, but they're in a limited situation.
Just add a wormhole effect. That's the whole point of fucking wormholes, is that you can tinker with the balance of them separate from the main game because they have wormhole effects. So just add a wormhole effect. Don't rebalance the entirety of factions.
Well, that may be where the problem reveals itself most, but it's still a problem in Nullsec, according to some players. You don't agree with that, right? Like, faxes are in a good place?
I think faxes are very low on the problems of the capital meta. There are much more glaring issues with the capital meta right now than faxes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you mean, Progot. I think capitals are very balanced and fair. especially Titans. Uh-huh.
Well, another thing they talked about dealing with wormholes was that the frigate wormholes. What? The frigate wormholes.
Russia just blocked one. Sorry.
Oh, shoot. I want to get back to that game. Which was kind of interesting. And those frigate holes aren't going anywhere because they're meant to release pressure on hole control inside of wormholes. That's kind of interesting. Another thing they talked about was adjusting the D-scan range, because there's some systems that are so big, can't really see all the way. And they talked about... That's more of a server load issue, that it would create more server load. But they were thinking that each ship should have a variation of how big your D-scan range is, which I thought was very interesting.
It just seems like a massive pain.
It's one of those things that no one's ever asked for.
Yeah, that's another thing. Extremely low on things that, like, there are some massive glaring balance issues right now. And you know, you mentioned earlier, I'm mostly a subcap FC. I generally like most of the capital changes. I think the capital's meta was pretty bad before the capital changes, and it's bad and it's still bad now. It's better
now than it was before.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it is worse now than it was before, though, because they've completely removed subcaps in the game, and they've made the only timer, we could go hours for this, but the only timers that really matter are all going to be like 4,000 people in local, and then the game doesn't work. So, yeah.
Right. I know I didn't go to the Q&A session primarily because there was beer going elsewhere, but like, I just feel like with like most Q&A sessions that I've ever gone to, is that you'll have one guy who bitches about one super snowflake problem that it's just like, it's like, when I went to FanFest, like, they were removing Skynet the next Tuesday, and at least five people got up and whinged about them removing Skynet. And it's like, dude, it's happening on Tuesday. Nothing you say now is going to change it. And that's what I find most Q&A sessions are.
Yeah, well, the Q&As, like, I don't think they put much into those, because, you know, you got a bunch of random people just highlighting very specific issues that only they care about. Like, Like, I went to a Q&A at FanFest recently, and I highlighted a specific issue that I cared about, and I'm pretty sure it got ignored, so.
Like, so nobody else should have theirs. No,
there are some subcapital balance things that they announced down here.
Let's hear about that.
Yeah, this might fit within your priorities. For example, the damage bonus on the, is it the claw? I'm looking for a word in the notes. The damage bonus changing. Is being converted to a rate of fire so that it would reduce alpha but keep the DPS. Actually, they said the DPS would go slightly up.
For what? A little bit
less alpha coming from rabid packs of claws. They have.
Yeah, okay.
The zealot is getting a drone bay.
Oh, didn't we already do
help it out?
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
It's on the system, it's massive.
Putting a drone bay on the zealot's the dumbest fucking thing. Like, that's not the problem with the zealot.
The problem with the zealot is purely and simply power grid.
Retribution's getting a 10% speed nerf. They are pretty fast.
Sure.
That's all they had that they said was in the July patch.
Yeah, the drone bay on the zealot confused me as well. I read that and I was like, why? What's the point?
It takes away the best. I mean, I like having some ships that don't have drone bays. Like, I'd much rather it be the non-drone bay ships and low drone bay ships are supposed to be your fleet combat ships because they're supposed to get more damage from other areas. So.
I still believe because I saw someone in Twitch chat say that one of the problems is that the gap between subcaps and caps is too big and there's no real counterplay. Like there's no subcapital counterplay to caps, not really. I just want to maybe I can link this and you can show this on Streamer Cloud. I just want to reference this show you guys this thread of my very good friend Capku. Now, obviously, he's not a game designer, so somebody's ship ideas might not be very finalized. But I think there's some really cool ideas in there. Especially the first ship, the Fnatic, is something that's really interesting to me. It would need some really fine balancing. It could not be allowed to fit haul guns, for example, because that would just be ridiculous if you have like a hack that fits haul guns. But I think the idea is really interesting to have a subcap. A small subcap, like a heavy assault cruiser, that is able to fit capital guns. So you can use it to maybe get close up on an enemy carrier fleet within like AHAC fleet, and you can just shred through effects. So it's great. Actually a threat to a fleet, yeah? And I think that's a great idea. It's something to build on. And I think that would really help the game to some extent as well.
That was interesting. I mean, that's interesting, but to me, the big problem with it is... Capitals have always been what wins wars. You know, whoever has the most titans has always been most important. But before the capital changes, you still needed to field subcaps because if you didn't field subcaps, then the enemy was going to control the grid and they were going to keep you tackled forever. They could waterboard you. There's really nothing you could do about it unless you had your own subcaps to drive them off. And it was just a really bad idea not to field subcaps. Now, there is absolutely no requirement that you field a subcap fleet. And in fact, if your pilots have a choice between subcapital and capital, they absolutely better be in a capital. So it's the biggest problem with the capital subcap balance isn't that you need some kind of subcap counterplay. There was subcap counterplay. They just got rid of it by making capitals like able to kill subcaps in all situations and like ridiculously fast too. I mean, capitals don't even need tackle anymore. They have sirens. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, and then if you as well, like, if you look at the change over the last 2 years, that, you know, if you go 2 years ago, the main sort of line battles, like, the main thing that you would use for defense, right, would not be, well, I suppose it was to a certain extent slow caps, but you would have battleships with an actual place in the meta. As now, if you're going to go defend a fortress, like, you just spam carriers and go, good fucking luck, go.
Slow cats were 10 times less oppressive than the capitals right now. Slow cats, like, they did 500 DPS per carrier. They were nothing. Like, you could just sit at 140 kilometers and wave at them. Like, you didn't have to worry about it too much. Now, like, if you have a battleship fleet on grid and it lingers on grid for, like, 60 seconds too long, it could evaporate. Like, you could drop, like, 30 super carriers 10 kilometers off of them and put meme bubbles on them and just put out a bunch of long-range 5-0s and just free fire battleships. You don't even need to call targets, just fucking free fire.
I think supers are like one thing, but at least you can defang them. Titans are just so oppressive because you can, with, you know, haul guns. You can basically, when you have a Titan fleet with haul guns, fit anything like within 100 kilometers. It's just a death zone. And as soon as you pick a, you choose a fleet comp that, you know, that goes further than that, you just fit long range guns and they just shred that. So, yeah.
If you're not up on all the lingo here, haw gun stands for HAW or high angle weapon. And it's one of the weapon options you can put on your Titan that will allow it to better target and apply damage to ships multiple classes smaller than the Titan. So battleships, for example.
So there could be counterplay here if they just make some tweaks. Like, honestly, I think the capital meta is close. If they are, it's very fixable. I love the concept of faxes, but because the biggest problem before they did the capital changes and introduced faxes is that you needed a critical mass to even score kills on a capital fleet because of the spider tank. Now, like, if you take a capital fight, you can still kill faxes. Like, even if you don't have the ability to win the fight, there have been situations against, you know, small capital fleets where a bunch of subcaps have trapped them and killed like 10 faxes. And they couldn't kill the whole capital fleet, but you still get some kills now. I really like that part of the meta. But the amount of ways that a capital fleet with supers and titans can attack and kill subcaps makes it almost impossible to put a subcap grid. If you want to get under, you know, if you want to sick tank the turrets, which is where most of the damage comes in, you have to get close to them to get your transversal up. But if you get within 100 kilometers, then GTFOs are coming at you, and you basically have no counterplay against that. They're too fast. The only counterplay to a GTFO is spread your fleet out. But then it's really hard to keep your transversal up if you spread your fleet out, unless you teach 200 people how to fly in formation perfectly.
IOE Doomsdays are a terrible addition to the game.
Yeah.
GTFOs?
I mean, GTFOs are...
Let's first describe what that is, if you're about to go ahead.
Within 100 kilometers, a Titan can fire the GTFO. It's a 10-kilometer radius or diameter? It's a radius, right?
I think so, yes.
So it's a sphere with a 20-kilometer diameter that has like a 10-second charge up, and then it teleports everything within the sphere 15 AU away. It's
really essentially an acronym for get the fuck out. You're grabbing a group of ships and just throwing them and tossing them out of the battle for a while. And if you keep doing that, it frustrates the people you're throwing out of the battle because it's slow for them to get back into the battle.
The combination of that movement weapon and time dilation means that you've just teleported them 15 astronomical units away, and it's going to take them a long time to make their ships slowly reorient to where they want to be and then warp together to get back to the grid.
And then they have to reload the grid after that in massive oppressive time.
I don't think, like, I laid out my list in the CSM FC channel for the things that could fix the capital meta. And to me, it doesn't seem that much. Like, it just a couple tweaks could really change the balance. I mean, you get rid of the GTFO, then you can start using subcaps within range of 100 kilometers again. And if you take capital turrets, I mean, if you take haws and only let dreads fit them, I don't mind the haw turret in concept, but putting it on Titans with the amount of damage they can spit out, and, you know, you get perfect faction officer fits with them, you know, that really ups the effectiveness of them, and it's just too much. But if dreads could fit haws and Titans could,
haw gun.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What if a Titan could only fit one haw gun?
Why?
Still too much?
Yeah, no. I mean, just make it a dread thing. It gives dreads another thing. You take haws off Titans, you take away the GTFO, and that fixes like 90% of the problems. And then, you know, tweak the burst projectors a little, sure, but 90% of your problems are due to the GTFO and haul guns on Titans.
I think Jay agrees with that, right?
Yes, but there's also the problem that then Titans and supercarriers have nothing to do if they can't shoot subcaps, because they can't shoot structures because it's inefficient.
Supercarriers can still shoot subcaps.
Yeah, but not as well as Titans can.
Okay, yeah. I mean, do we have to do? Does every sub capital ship have to just murder subcaps? Can't there be capital ships that are specialized for it and capital ships that are specialized for anti-capital like Titans?
You know, I think Titans should have a completely new role where if they get near a planet, they alter the gravity of the planet, reducing PI. Because that's what they were supposed to do. Right?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
That was a joke, but it was going back to like, yeah. You know, what Titans were supposed to be. They were supposed to be singular, and they were supposed to affect gravity on planets. That was their whole thing.
Tommy Two-Tone and Tapperkin have the best idea I've heard in years. Make Titans have...
Make them go into siege.
Yes. I love that. Let's do it, Killa. Make them have siege.
The CS. That's intriguing. A negatory on that one.
All right.
But steering us back for a moment to some of the stuff we heard at Eve Down Under, the small upwell structures that are being discussed. Now, I don't believe any of these were for the July patch. I think these were all things that he said Team 5-0 were working on for the second half of this year. And then he went that into a correct. Separate section on things that they were working on farther ahead for next year, but with lots of caveats. And please don't promise this might not happen, like Angel Capitals, for example. It might not happen, but he was talking about, and they call them player owned FOBs as a sort of a forward operating basis, as a sort of quick name, because I don't think these all have a name yet. But they were talking about propaganda structures that could be used as monuments or as advertisements in space. They would be small. They would either be undockable. Well, you couldn't dock in them, but you could tether on them. Or potentially tether on them, or potentially one person could dock in it, much like if there was a ship in space, one pilot could climb into it, but only one. It might have a weapon system or not. There were some little structures like that. A dedicated recruitment structure that you could copy on it would tell you something about the thing. Each of these would have the opportunity to run a service on them, so they would have a low power mode and a high power mode. Low power mode meant it has no reinforcement. If you blew it up, if you attacked it, you could blow it up, much like a POS that has no strontium in it. But if it had a live service in it, it would be in high power mode and it would have one 24-hour reinforcement cycle.
No, he said it would have one day and come out in the defender's time zone. So yeah, nice. You're busy thinking again.
Okay, yeah, all right. That's right.
Why do they keep sticking to that shit? Where the defenders can set the time zone and there's nothing you can do about it. I don't get that. Like that's fine, but there needs to be some mechanic for the attacker to work around that. Otherwise, yeah, I don't know. It just seems so weird to me. I hate time zone tanking so much.
Are you teasing on a Wednesday, Killer?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm just saying, like I just hate time zone tanking, and it's, you know, I mean, with FRT, it works in their favor, but I just don't think it's good. I don't understand why they keep sticking to that with all the new structures as well. Don't get it.
Yeah, they don't even bring them out AUTZ. Like, we started forming at like 11 o'clock at night, and everyone's just like, oh, yeah, no, I'm so good not going at 11 o'clock at night to a massive tie dye.
Let's talk a little bit about what having a fast to anchor, tetherable, small, disposable structure might mean for fleet battles.
I mean, it just replaces towers. It depends on, I mean, it just replaces towers, and it makes sure that it depends on how big the tether grid is. If it's large enough to where you can safely spread out your carriers and really not worry about them getting bumped or something like that, then you might be able to, who knows, maybe every single Citadel fight will have carriers fighting each other at 1,000 kilometers, because that's like the best fucking game mechanic ever.
But what about Jay's Titan example he mentioned earlier?
Once again, it depends on how big the tether grid is. If it's an Asher House tether grid, then you probably don't want to do that. If it's a Fortizar size tether grid, then yeah, maybe you can put a Titan anywhere now.
Okay. They also talked about navigation structures, things that would be able to replace the jump bridge, the Sinocerial beacon, and the Sinocerial jammer. The jump bridge would be replacing it, would be a small Stargate, player built Stargate. And they showed beautiful graphics of it. And they would be ACL controlled. which would be a nice quality of life thing for people who live together as coalitions. Right now, the permissions on a jump bridge can be basically at the corporation level or the alliance level. Well, no, jump bridges, you can set it with standings at the alliance level, but Sinosural beacons and Sinosural, yeah, beacons, you have to, it has to be your corp or your alliance. You can't set an ACL and have your allies also be able to use your beacon. Would be nice.
We also toyed with some idea where this is just, they were toying with ideas, and that was that you could light a Sino, shoot yourself through it, and you would land approximately where you wanted to, but not exactly, either too far or too close.
It would be nice, I think, if you no longer needed a Titan, or if Titans weren't the only way to bridge fleets anymore. I've always wanted a jump portal structure.
Well, you have Black Ops, but I guess it's
specific. Well, yeah. Yeah, you know.
Hacking that's cool. It's flavor, but it's pretty narrow.
Right. Well, what other stuff did they announce for future? We're still on future, right?
So the 2019 concepts were the beachheads in hostile space with a potentially limited lifespan, observatories that might replace local chat and locator agents, and help maybe even help you find cloakers.
Will never change cloaky camping.
Why not? There seems to be a lot of resistance to that. Why is that?
Why? I honestly don't see the problem with cloaky camping, like, legitimately, right? Like, and I reckon Killer will agree with me, is a cloaky camper is only as scary as the hammer that is standing behind them. And, you know, I've seen people rock mining with cloaky campers because they know they sit under the Imperium superfleet and nothing can be brought to kill them.
So if you can protect your ratters and people harvesting your area, then you're fine. Cloaky camping means nothing.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like that fucking blah dude that gets paid to camp Esoteria all day. He's only scary when bombers bar form up. And when bombers bar form up, all you have to do is ping out to all your dudes. Hey, bombers bar are forming. They've got campers in our space. Then everyone just like chills for an hour or so and just denies them any kills.
Yeah, we just have like an FC on standby, and when they drop, yeah, you just drop in, kill them or whatever, right? It's like, I understand that cloaky campers might be a problem for smaller entities, but generally, like, at least up in the north where like I rock a mine or whatever, I just don't care who comes in the local. I just keep mining, and then if something happens, I'll just kill them. Like, that's obviously a luxury that not every entity in the game has. I understand that, so I do accept, like, I understand that it is an issue
being an FC too.
Yeah, exactly. So you can actually defend yourself.
Yeah, I have such a poor fit Rorqual. I just like I have the pre-typed ping. Like, oh my god, Rorqual tackle everyone, getting pro god fleet now, just sitting there ready.
Yeah, you're, honestly, like,
you're,
I don't
ping tanked.
Yeah, I don't have tank either.
Yeah, like I don't.
I just have to panic. That's it.
I don't tank either. Like, I just when I get dropped in my Rorqual, I just panic and I form a fleet. Like, I don't fuck around with my local tank or whatever.
I use the worst Rorqual fit. I don't want to like pay attention, so I have the cap stable 5 shield transporter fit that.
Yeah, you just wrap your drones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I think that's ping tanked, because as an FC, you can call in your own help. So
yeah,
dude, it says go for show roundup and end in the thing. Can I mention something towards the end of the show?
No, we're not ending now. We can ignore some of this stuff, but go ahead.
Okay, I want to give a shout out to Mike Wright and her, who managed to lose his Ragnarok to a Blood Raider Sotillo yesterday.
So it's an NC corporation. Her.
Yeah. It was very good times. Very good times.
Wasn't he chill tanked as well?
Yeah, but that's fine. You know, like technically that's the NC dot Ragnarok fitting is to, you know, have an armor tank and a shield tank, which is fine. But obviously, you know, you should warp off before those rats kill you and not stay until you're dead.
One sarcasm alert went up. One can feel like one has a lot of hit points, and you'll be able to see them going down, and if you get into any trouble, and you'll have time to warp out. But my wonder is, why didn't he have a set of pocket faxes to warp in to help him?
Because those faxes will just feed. Like, those Sotillos are no joke if you get more shit on that grid, right? So you want to, the way you usually run them is you just run them with a couple of Titans, right? And I think he didn't really pay much attention either, because what he told me is he warped out he started warping out when he was at like 50% armor, which is fine in theory. But for some reason he was like webbed really hard and the rats bumped him out of alignment, so he never made it into warp and just died. So that's obviously pretty frustrating. Also kind of hilarious. And obviously it had to be Mike, right? Which is just making this whole story so beautiful.
Why? What's up with him?
He's a very great guy. I mean, he's definitely one of the most charismatic people in NC Dot. He has a very good reputation, and you know that just makes him one of those people you do not want to miss in an alliance.
Are you being sarcastic?
That is up for the listener's interpretation.
Okay, yeah, I guess you have to know the parties. I also heard that senior FC for NC Travis got banned.
I mean that's true.
Okay.
He got banned for 7 days.
For telling low seckers they suck, they should grow up kind of thing.
It wasn't that friendly phrase. He basically called some low seckers on a hot F, and he got banned for that for 7 days.
Smart moves all around from NC.
Now he can't run for CSM anymore either.
Did they not talk about at EVE Down Under capital balance at all? They didn't mention anything.
I know. I had a few chats with Fozzy and Lebowski about some particular issues with capital meta, but not as a like institutional thing. There really wasn't that much.
So it's been 2 years, and the only thing they've done is increase the SIG of fighters, which was a great change. But that's it.
Yeah, pretty much, man.
Awesome.
I'll also say CCP Lebowski did a really interesting presentation, if you're technically minded, about why the server died for like 6 hours after the Citadel changes.
Yeah, you can check that out. There is a stream. We'll post it in chat. We'll also have it on Discord and in the show notes, which you can find at talkingstations.com for this show. And that stream is a VOD, video on demand, so you can watch the whole EVE Down Under, including all the presentations there. What was the reason that thing crashed? I heard that it was a contract.
Yeah, so the TLDR is that like contracts have like contract numbers or anything, and the EVE universe is stored at location zero in memory, and there were like 20 contracts or something that were also... referred to as like location zero, so it tried to put the entire EVE universe in the station is the TLDR.
So weird. Yeah, well, check that out. There's also Fozzy's presentation. There's also Q&A. And there was some other stuff too, which was interesting. There was statistics on Australian time zone, which I found fascinating because most of the killing happens in high sec when people are trying to move things before downtime. So, of course, that's when the high-sec hunters come out and gank people, and most of those come from Goon Swarm.
Not just high-sec. There was a guy who lost an Erebus yesterday trying to move a right at downtime.
Time zone.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Logan doesn't count as a real person.
Do you know more about that, Carneros?
Yes.
Was he from Bastion?
No.
Your alliance? Okay. No. Well, it was more
the
Australian...
He used to be in Bastion, actually, years and years ago.
Well, the Australian time zone, though, most killings happened, and it looked like 5 out of 6 were high-sec systems that were in the path between market hubs. So that's where most of the killing gets done. And I also found out that Australia is 2% of the population of EVE Online, which is less than girls, because I believe there's 4% females. Get on their level. But you guys outweigh yourselves in representation because you guys are like the diehards of EVE Online. Okay, so the last thing is what's actually concretely coming in the July patch.
July patch was some Abyss NPC bug fixes, which he didn't tell us what they were. He's got new mutaplasmids for Nosferatu modules and for cat batteries.
Dude, the cat battery is going to be amazing. It's going to be so overpowered. So you can put medium cat batteries on a super and get the same nuke resistance. And if you can increase that nuke resistance, oh boy, it takes like zero fitting as well. I'm really excited about that.
Shield super's viable, question mark? Who knows?
We'll see. What else, Carneros?
They're going to have new named disintegrator modules, which will drop as BPCs instead of as built things, which will help balance out. Instead of having them drop as modules, they'll drop as BPCs, which will help adjust the market so that it makes more sense to people. The loot tables will be rebalanced. I apologize, I've never run an Abyssal site, but something about less likely for a triple empty can.
Yeah.
Okay. There are some major next steps they're planning for Abyss, but he went into I can't talk about that mode, which I think means at least two or three beers.
in past times, if you got a CCP dev drunk, they might spill the beans, but I don't think
he went into the Zealot Retribution Claw tweaks that are planned for the July patch. Alliance logos on conquerable stations and outpost monuments. And he talked about two particular outposts that are going to switch hands. They're just the monument will switch hands. Goonswarm will be recognized at VFK at the request of Slice, which I think is pretty cool. And a tip of the hat to Test Alliance for the same thing in XTAC R3NM. For Pravi. Pravi gets to have their logo, Alliance logo on that monument due to a gesture from Test. Both make a lot of sense over EVE history, if you care about EVE history. And obviously this crowd does, except for ProGod.
I care about EVE history.
Just poking you. All right. And they're making some tweaks to their... they're doing a little bit of the legwork on phasing out starbases. And this part is just the industry and moon mining structures that used to go on starbases. They will be able to be reprocessed for basically full value if you have good skills. And that will start with the July patch. Blueprint conversion is still coming in the future. And they're going to stop dropping new faction starbase BPCs as part of the July patch.
I thought they'd already stopped that. Anyway.
No, you can still get like faction guns for bosses and data sites and whatnot.
Also, they're going to adjust the point at which your shields have gone down when a notification comes out about being attacked for a shield. Is it for all POS structures or just POSs?
I thought it was for all structures. It's only going to be 25%, like 95%.
So. Now it's going to be 95%. Yeah, and this is partly because of NPCs.
Yeah.
So basically, we're going to have some ship nerfs and some adjustments to mutaplasmids.
Not like a groundbreaking patch, just one of those. Hey, we're following up on some shit we done last month.
Yeah.
Great if they followed up on shit they did from time to time.
Balancing pass. You know what's interesting? I thought that the bumping rule where they can only bump you for 3 minutes and then your freighter would fly off. I thought that was a thing, but it's not. They actually stopped work on it and it never actually happened.
Did they stop work on it or did they have a bug and they got blocked temporarily?
They got diverted from it to a different priority, the guys that were programming that. So it's still not in the game, along with, shield slaves and...
Angel Capital,
et cetera. Yeah, other stuff. But one of those things that I thought was already in the game. And I thought this thing where you could look at your career, that map where you could see all this, where all your time is spent inside the game. Like, I thought that was already here too, and it's not. And it doesn't look like it's coming in July either. Or maybe it will, I don't know. Well, we shall see with a change of leadership at the top, what kind of communication happens. It looks like at the end of Siegel's tenure, the communication kind of got a little bit foggy. But not really sure what is in the game and what isn't.
I hope they do one of those live stream things like they did for the CSM results when they introduce him. Live stream him, put him up there, let him do a little Q&A. That'd be great.
I think they got to introduce him via an interview, so that will probably be from CCP itself, or it may be some magazine that interviews him, and that's when the announcement happens simultaneously with that, some kind of a PR push. One last thing in the July patch is a Jackdaw skin. It actually has some animation on it.
Cool.
And that, we don't know how that's going to be distributed, if it's going to be a loot drop or some sort of a reward of some sort. I don't know. That might be interesting. All right. I think that's it. Look, there's a ton of stuff. We went through it all. It's too much to really kind of just go step by step. We did do as much as we could to talk about some of the stuff that's pertinent with the guests that we have, but you should do yourself a favor and check that out. Or you can talk to Otto Bismarck here and see if he'll fill you in on what happened there at Egander.
Can I have like at least 12 hours, please?
Yeah. Well, there you have it. All right. I think it's time to wrap up the show. And I want to say thanks to Otto Bismarck for staying up. It's so late for him. He's on the other side of the world in Australia, where Eve Down Under just happened. Oh, by the way, you can now sleep, Otto. Thanks for staying up.
See you, bud.
You're probably wiped out. And I want to thank Killaby and Jay Amazingness and Pro God Legend FCs for various groups that were fighting in the LK battle that happened just this last week. Right. And also Tiberius and Carneros. Thanks, guys, for showing up. As always, appreciate it. And thanks for all the research that happened. Also, thanks to McLeod for being the engineer, Sarah for directing the show, and January for producing some of the information here. That's all for us today. We will see you next week on Talking In Stations.